This morning we're going to be looking at the third fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. Paul says the peace that surpasses all understanding or comprehension. There's many definitions for peace, and I'll share some of those with you. But I'm amazed of how many times peace is mentioned in the entire Bible. A lot of times in both the Old and the New. So as we look at the third fruit of the Spirit, follow along with me as I begin with verse 22, and I'll read verse 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, I want us to think about, you know, we talked about love, then joy. But here, peace is something that Jesus talked about. He gave his disciples and others about, you know, do not be afraid, because I give you my peace. And when we think about that, that should bring comfort to us as well. It does me in times of trouble or hardships or circumstances and sufferings and things like that. And when you think about that, it's a topic that desperately needs to be addressed in this world torn, in this war, I would say war-torn world, because the world itself is often in turmoil, and looking for answers and seeking opportunities to have a better life. John MacArthur, I don't know if you've read much about John MacArthur, and he's an author, he's pastor as well, but his definition of peace, or he defines it as knowing that we may get to the point where we can do nothing else, but that our all-powerful God has no such limits. And he doesn't. He's not limited space. He's not limited time. And he's always on his throne, very present, close to us. The more we read, the more we pray, the closer he is to us. And I want you to think about that this morning. The more you read the Bible, you know, he just kind of comes right in to our situations and so forth. And as we seek him, he's very near. Because the Bible says, and in Isaiah says, if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And you've always heard me say that God uses those closest to him. And we see the evidence of the scriptures of those God used. And he uses us as well in our church and in ministries and in your families, in helping your friends and others who are looking for answers or are seeking peace but yet haven't found it. And we know exactly where we can find it. Our joy comes from the Lord. Our peace comes from the Lord. The true peace. Because that's why Jesus said, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Because I want to give you my peace. Now, there is no greater peace, is there, other than what the Lord can give us. And what he will give us. There's another definition actually comes closer to getting it right about this peace. And we know that Jesus' description of peace didn't mean merely the absence of inner personal conflict, because conflict is a part of life, isn't it? Have you experienced it? Conflict in your life? Yes, it's a part of life. And we're not going to escape those times that we experience them. But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, Jesus was describing the things that that really are real in life. And he was saying, if you're not willing to forsake yourself or others and follow me, you cannot be my disciples. And Jesus was saying too, you know, peace is something that's special. And he said, the world's going to hate you. But if you follow me, you will be blessed. And you will be accepted a part. And I will use you as my disciple. So the world, you know, it in itself, when you think about how to be accepted as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, is not common throughout the world. And Jesus knew that, and he knew that at that time, and he was explaining to the disciples that, you know, people may be seeking peace and so forth in their life, but if they're not for me, they'll never find it. And they'll bring about the sword and the wars and rumors of wars and things like that because they're not seeking peace, but they're seeking power and fame and other things. And that's why Jesus made this statement about, I didn't come to bring peace, but he did come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, right? And that's a symbol of peace. So there's a lot of things in the Bible that is a mystery to us, but when you get to study it and see how the Bible translates that and works from one scripture and throughout the Bible, you can understand the true meaning of what Jesus is saying here in this particular verse. So there's a third definition that I found, and it's Helen Keller and her perspective when she said, I do not want the peace which passes understanding. Now, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, she went on to say, I want the understanding which peace brings. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? I want the peace that, the understanding which peace brings. So the reality is that peace which passes all understanding comes from understanding the truth of God. That's the peace. See, that's where you find it. That's where you find rest and comfort in your souls. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, 29, come to me and you will find rest. You will find that peace in your life. So, when you lie down at night and you close your eyes and hoping to get a good night's rest, right? You lay down and you know that you are in the hands of the Lord. And I find real comfort when I lay down at night and I think, okay, this might be my life's prayer, but I'm lying down trusting God that I find peace in Him throughout my night of rest. And there's examples of that in the Bible, and I'll share that a little bit later with you. But peace is a major theme in the Bible. And as I was studying and looking throughout the Bible for this message and so forth, I find that peace appears 329 times just in the Old Testament and 30 times just in the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah spoke much of that, and one of those is in when he's talking about the Prince of Peace is coming. Jesus Christ, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Counselor. He's the High Priest. He's the good Shepherd, the perfect Shepherd, and so forth. And then it peace occurs 91 times in the New Testament, in which 24 times just in the Gospels. So that's 329 times. So that's a lot of locations of that word peace, and that's where we can find it in the Lord. So we need peace with which comes from God, because at some point in our lives, we all struggle, we do, to maintain the peace that we need. And that is why I want to share some of these with you this morning, that for some, it would be the death of a loved one, a child, a parent, or a spouse. So we need to find that peace and comfort in that moment. And the Lord says, come to me, and you will find it. Don't be afraid. You know, when in John chapter 14, you know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, you believe also in God. So we come to the Lord. Actually, sometimes we just need to run to him, okay? Don't just kind of wobble or trot or scoot in, but run to him in those times of trouble. And the quicker we run to him, the sooner we will find what we need and the comfort we need in him. And for others, it would be a heart attack, cancer, and another life-threatening disease. And all of that is common in our world today. And it happened at the very beginning of the world, in the Garden of Eden, right? When sin entered the world. That's why we experience all of these things. But we have the Lord to comfort us and bring us peace. And still others face divorce, financial ruins, and loss of significant dreams in their lives. So we need to find that peace in the Lord. And then others, the tragedies aren't even personal, but who never forget the senselessness of 9/11, which is today the anniversary of that, and the explosion of the space shuttle Columbia. How many of you remember that? Back in 1986. What were you doing when it happened? You was at school. Well, in 86, I was in my Bible college, but I was interested in the Columbia landing and hearing the good report, but then tragedy struck. Some foam from the rocket boosters, some of that came off, hit the wing and knocked off some the tiles and so forth. But they knew that. Well, that happened when it was taken off. And when it was coming back in, the commander said, well, and the others of the scientists and so forth, said, it should be fine. But really, it wasn't. Those tiles was to protect those that was in that spacecraft. And of course, we know the others that took off in 86 as well and ended up in the disaster. So there's many of the things that we see in life and we've experienced that we need to find that peace. So tragedy comes in every life. The details vary, but the experiences does not. So it's only in as we examine, you know, perspective of God's word that we come to understanding how peace is not only possible, but it should be the norm in our life, especially as Christians who has the Spirit of God inside. So if we have the Spirit in God, you know, just think, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he comes in and resides in your life. That is permanent. So therefore, when we go through these things in our life, we know that the Spirit is permanently right here, but sometimes the old nature wants to kick in, doesn't it? It wants to rob us of the joy and the love and the peace that we have from God. And that's why we must always seek him in all these circumstances in life. So now, let's look at, first of all, what peace is, the source of true peace, the source. And to properly understand peace, we need to understand where true peace comes from. We need to understand that. And that's the key of this message this morning, a part of it. Next week I'll do the second part. But the Hebrew concept of shalom, peace, that's the Old Testament definition in the Hebrew, is more positive than merely an absence of conflict. So it speaks of wholeness and wellness that includes our relationship with God and a loving harmony with others. See, that's what the Bible speaks of when it comes to peace. Now, Paul spoke of both peace with God, because we were justified by faith. Now, we find that in Ephesians chapter 1, where we were chosen from the very foundations of the world to be a part of God's kingdom. So we were chosen. Now, everybody likes to be chosen for something, right? If you're going to play a game and you line up against the wall somewhere and you got two leaders and they say, okay, I choose you and I choose you, and until you get down to last, one person's still standing there wondering, am I going to get chosen? But they do. But we look for that, to be chosen. And because we are justified by faith, we can have the peace of God. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, we're chosen by God and we're justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because he died for our sins. And in verse 13, then we are sealed. We are sealed because the Holy Spirit resides permanently in our life. And that peace with God, that peace of God, which goes beyond human understanding, as Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells us. So also, let's look at what Jesus says in John 14, 27. I quoted John 14, 1 and 2 a while ago when John says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then in verse 27, John says, peace, and Jesus, these are Jesus' words, peace I leave you with you. And Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And for him to say that and have that peace, he was passing that along to his disciples who were distraught. They were just uneasy about what Jesus was saying. They said, let it not be. Let it not be. But then Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. So fear and not being afraid. Jesus was, what comforting words Jesus was sharing with the disciples. And then when we're in certain situations as well, and you read scriptures like this where Jesus is going to the cross, if you can just imagine Jesus going to the cross, he knew he was going to be dying in a few hours, and he was saying this to his disciples. That is ultimate true peace. You know why Jesus had peace? Because he knew the Father would take care of him, even as though he was going to the cross dying for the sins. He still found true peace. And you just think about the two thieves on the cross. Think about that. One was mad and angry at Jesus, blaming Jesus for him being up there, and it was his own fault for choices he made in life. And Jesus said, hey, you know, I can give you peace. Sure, you're up here, but it's on your own doing, but I can give you peace. And the other thief on the cross, he said, hey, Jesus, remember me in paradise. And Jesus said, thou shalt be with me. you will find ultimate peace. You don't have peace right now. You're hanging on this cross right beside me. But I will remember you. I'll remember your faith, your statement right here. You see, that's what Jesus is looking for in our lives, in everybody's lives. He's wanting us to, he's not looking for information from us. He's looking for a confession. Here this thief confessed, Jesus, I can do nothing now. I'm here on this cross. But seeing you, that you've done nothing wrong, and you're extending forgiveness to all of these people that's put you here, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. And that's why I realize I've wasted my life. Now I have found what I've been looking for. Isn't that a great example of this world? One, people on the left side and people on the right side, and those that really find or realize what life is about and who's in control of life and where they can find that peace, and say, Lord, I trust you. And at that moment, they'll find that peace. And I shared with you a week ago about the gentleman I talked to that received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And after I prayed with him, he said, I don't know how you're supposed to feel, but he said, I feel a load removed from my life. And he said, for the first time in a long time, I know what that peace is. I feel that peace. That means all the burdens, all the sin in his life were removed. And he found peace with the Lord. That was the Spirit entering to his life, removing all that old stuff that was keeping him tied down. And then it was lifted and he found peace. That's true peace. And Jesus described the peace that he was talking about as he said, my peace. My peace. I have peace, and I want to give my peace to you. And notice how Jesus described this peace that he wanted them to experience as he said, my peace I give you. Not as a world, because the world is not experiencing it. They're not really seeking me who can give it to you. So if you look closer, you would see that it was not only his peace, but it was specifically, he was saying he was giving it to them. Jesus wasn't saying, I'm keeping this to myself, but I'm giving it to you as well. Jesus experienced his peace on that night of his crucifixion. Now, there's others who found peace, and I want to share some examples of those. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they was going to be put in the fiery furnace, right? And the king said, you know, you don't bow down and worship me, in the furnace you go. And they said, go ahead, put us in there. We're not afraid. We're not fearful. Well, he did. And they come out, not a hair on their skin was singed. They knew what that peace was. They was trusting in God. And then think about Peter. Peter was put in prison because he was out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what would most people be doing when they are in jail waiting execution? You think they'd be sleeping? No. They'd probably be restless and thinking about, oh, this what they was going to be experiencing. But the Bible says that Peter was what? He was asleep. He was resting. Why? Because his peace came from the Lord. He was trusting in God that he would take care. Well, he'd already gotten word that James, his associate, had been killed, martyred. And he was thinking about, well, I may be martyred, but I have peace with God. I may not have it all right here in this world or in this jail, but the ultimate peace is going to be with God. Now, let's look at the closing here real quickly. True peace comes from yielding all to the will of God. Peter yielded all to the will of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego yield all to the Lord, God Almighty, and they found peace. And there's evidence always through the Bible of yielding. And that's how we do. We give up ourselves and we give it to the Lord. And when we allow Jesus to have his way, that alone will solve the problems, then the heart can be at peace. And this is the peace that Jesus had as he faced the agony of the cross. It's a peace grounded in the promise of joy set before him. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and I shared that verse, but I wanted to share that again with you this morning. The peace that comes from yielding all to God. Now, our peace is within. It's not without, but it's within, and the world cannot understand it, nor will it take that peace away from you when you have it from the Lord. It's always going to be with you. Because Jesus says, it's my peace, and I want you to have it as well. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the message of peace this morning from Galatians chapter 5. There is so much for us to understand, and to understand everything, Lord, we need to get into your word, and we need to study and rely upon your Holy Spirit. As you taught the disciples, and as you teach us today, we can have everything that your word talks about if we're willing just to yield ourselves to you and seek it and find it and rest in you. Lord, our understanding is pretty small sometimes in relative to your perspective of life itself. You're the giver of life. You're the sustainer of life. You're the giver of all things. And the fruit of the Spirit are those things that you give to each one of us as we seek you and yield ourselves to you. And those here today, Lord, whatever they've experienced this week and whatever we're going to experience this week ahead of us, this being the first day of the week, Sunday, Lord, may we prepare ourselves. And one way we prepare ourselves is to be in your word, reading it, meditating, and reflecting upon your truth. And therefore, we can apply it. And then when we apply it to our lives, then the fruit of the Spirit take over. And then we're able to understand when you said, my peace I give you, we have it. And it will stay with us. Thank you to those listening today and those here in our service. Allow your Holy Spirit, Lord, to change our lives each day. Even as Christians, we need to be changed each day. We need to yield each day more to you. Lord, this invitation is yours, and we ought to respond to it. However you lead this morning, may we be sensitive and open to your Holy Spirit and take a stand and walk down this aisle and say, Lord, I'm yours. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my shortcomings. I want to be more at peace with you and with one another in this world. And when we do that, Lord, we'll find it. We'll find it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.